Good morning. Fifth, sixth, seventh graders in here. Landing, so you can get on up now if you want. Landing, your leaders are in the back of the room there. If I've not met you, my name's Jeff, one of the pastors here at Village Community Church. Thank you for coming out. And that last song we just sang was a new song, so it's probably new to almost everyone in this room. Maybe a few of you have heard it before, but it's a song that really sets up today's talk really well, especially the line there that says, there is power in the name of Jesus. And I really think that's the question that God is laying before us today. And Alex, if you want to turn the house lights up now, that'd be great. Do you believe there is power in the name of Jesus? Are we willing to walk in the power of Jesus? Are we willing to live by and trust in the power of Jesus? And really the big question that is before us today as we wrap up the Presence series, and this is week 8, the final week of our Presence series. If it's your first time, it's been an 8-week study for us on the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, how He works in our lives. And we're going to end up by talking today about healing in the name of Jesus. And I think that's the question that God wants us all to wrestle with today is, do we believe there is healing in the name of Jesus? Do we believe that God still heals today, that Jesus heals like He did 2,000 years ago? So before we dive into the Scriptures, let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just thank You for this opportunity to gather. God, I thank You for the journey that we've been on during this Presence series. God, I thank You for just bringing to light in many of our lives, God, the reality that the Holy Spirit, that You, the living God, lives within all of us who claim the name of Jesus, God. So I thank You for illuminating us to that truth, God. I thank You that we're beginning to get a glimpse of what He wants to do by producing fruit in our lives, by releasing gifts in our lives. And Father, just ask that You would watch over our time here, God, that You would be present. And I just simply say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill this place right now. Holy Spirit, will You release just faith in this room today? Holy Spirit, would You release the gift of faith in individuals in this room? We give You permission to move as You desire. I surrender my talk to You. May I only speak the words that You desire to be spoken here this morning. And I ask that You would give us all, regardless of what our day or week's been like, give us a quiet minds right now to receive Your word. Would You open our hearts? Would You open our ears? Be able to hear Your voice, Jesus. It's Your name that I pray. Amen. All right. Said today we're going to be wrapping up with talking about healing. Why healing during the Presence series? Well, one reason is, as you look at the gifts of Scripture, that the gifts that are listed in Scripture, one of the gifts is the gift of healings. And so it makes sense for us to talk about that gift. But it's even a bigger picture than that I want to paint today. More than some of us may have the gift of healing. Other of us don't have the gift of healing. But I believe we're all called to pray for healing. I kind of equate it to evangelism. Some people have the gift of evangelism, right? It's one of those spiritual gifts where someone stands up, even in a one-on-one relationship with somebody or a Billy Graham situation, where they proclaim the gospel and people believe in greater numbers because they've got the spiritual gift of evangelism. But even if we don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism, we have a responsibility, if we're a follower of Christ, right, to share the good news with people, regardless if we have the gift or not. I think when it comes to healing, it's the same thing. We may not have the gift of healing. Some of us do have the gift of healing, I'm certain, in this room, but we may not have it, but I think it's our responsibility and our duty, whatever you want to call it, our privilege, however you feel better about receiving the word, is we should be praying for healing in people's lives, and we should be willing to subject ourselves to healing, to be prayed for, to be prayed over for healing. So again, the question for us today I want you to wrestle with throughout this next 30 minutes is, do you believe that there's power in the name of Jesus to heal? When we look at the life of Christ, it's obvious that healing was a big part of His life and His ministry. If you look at the Gospels, over 40 healings of Jesus are recorded. It was commonplace, right, for Him to go around healing people. The Apostle John, as he wrote his Gospel at the end of it, he said, you know what? I've written these things about Jesus' miracles and Jesus' healing so that you will believe, so that they would testify to the fact that he is the Son of God. But he goes on to say that, you know what, I've only written a few of these things down. If I were to write down everything that Jesus did, there would not be enough books in the world to write down what he did. So we see 40 healings of Jesus, but we know there were many more. Wherever Jesus went, he seemed to heal people, right? If you're familiar with the Gospels. But it wasn't just Jesus. The disciples came along, and they continued in that tradition. We see lots of recordings in scriptures where the disciples were healing people. They went about proclaiming the gospel, laying hands on people, and seeing people healed. It was commonplace in the early days of the church to see healings. Let me read one of those to you. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him. This is the Apostle Paul. Saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Just an example of things that went on. Commonplace. Again, this was part of the church. This is what happened. Went along, sharing the good news, praying for people, seeing God intervene and heal. And I'm sure there's some of us in this room, you have received divine healing in your life. And I use the word divine healing to say that God intervened. There was no other explanation in your life, but God came, he visited you, and he brought healing to you. Maybe it was physically, maybe it was spiritually, but some of us have been healed. Maybe we've had friends who have been healed. And my hope today, and why I'm excited about this talk, because I have no doubt, I mean, I have no doubt at all that God wants to heal people in this church and in this community. It's what he does. It's who he is. And so my hope for today is simply this, you know, is that I hope that we can create an environment of faith, for healing, where one, we're willing to pray for people who are sick with faith. We're willing to stretch out that hand and ask Jesus to heal them. I also hope that we have an environment of faith where we believe, maybe it's hard at times for us, but we believe that Jesus heals and that we're willing to be prayed for. That when we're sick and we need healing, that we don't just write it on a prayer card, which is great, but we're willing to let someone pray for us. That we have that enough faith at least to submit ourselves to allow someone to pray for us. So that's my hope today, is that there'll be an environment of faith. I hope that everyone in this room will at least believe that if you're sick, Jesus wants to heal you. And so I want to share four things with you about healing. And consider this an introduction to healing, because God has been stirring this on my heart. I don't know when. It's either going to be like a four-week series before the end of the year. We're going to do more about healing. Or maybe it's going to be at community nights. But I know that God wants us to continue this pursuit of healing. So this is an introduction for you. This is kind of like healing 101. So I want to share with you four things about healing that I believe will begin to increase our faith and our belief that God still heals. So if you've got a bulletin, flip it over. We have fill in the blanks. If you're new here, we usually have these on the back side. One, so you can take things home with you, and also keeps me on track a little bit. So your first blank is this. Our basis for healing is found in the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. Again, our basis for healing is found in the love in the compassion of Jesus Christ. Read a passage to you from Mark chapter 1. And a leper came to him, and him being Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, another word you can fill in the blank, moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Another passage that I was going to read to you earlier, I didn't, but I'll go back to it. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus had an encounter with somebody and just simply said, Jesus had compassion on him, and he touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight, and they followed him. The basis that we have for belief in healing is that Jesus loves us, and Jesus has compassion on us. When we're struggling spiritually, Jesus has compassion for us. When we're hurting physically, Jesus has compassion for us. When we're wounded emotionally, Jesus has compassion for us, and he wants to heal us. Our default belief should be that Jesus wants to heal us. And I think for some of us in this room, okay, I'll admit it, a lot of you in this room, I'll just be direct here, this is hard for you to believe. It's the big stumbling block for you when it comes to healing. A lot of us in this room, I think, have this belief like, you know what, I don't deserve it. Why would God want to heal me and make me better? I brought this on myself. That's not true. That is a lie. Jesus loves you. Jesus has compassion on you. Jesus wants to see you well. Believe that. He wants to heal you. That should be your default belief, that is, he wants to touch me, that he wants to heal me. Psalm 145:9 says, God has compassion on all that he made. That means he has compassion on those that sit here. If you're a follower of Christ, he has compassion on you. But guess what? Even if you're not there yet, and even if you're opposed to the gospel like I was for 30 years of my life, he still has compassion on you. You can dislike Jesus. You could not believe in Jesus right now, but he still wants to heal you because he loves you. He has compassion for you. If you're sitting here and you're sick and you think you deserve it, I tell you that is a lie from Satan. It's not true. You don't need to hold on to it. You need to let that belief go here this morning that Jesus does not want to heal you. He absolutely does want to heal you. He wants to make you well. Why do I pray for healing? When I'm sick and I ask God to heal me, why? Well, because I know that he loves me and he cares for me and he does want to heal me. Why do we want to pray for other people who are sick? Well, we have compassion for them, right? You have a loved one who has cancer. Don't you pray for them? Because you love them and you care for them. The same is true about Jesus. He hurts. When we're hurting, he hurts. So our default belief for healing, again, is this. Our basis for healing is found in the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. But Jesus also is this. He wants to heal us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We often just think about the physical when it comes to healing, right? And that's a big piece of it, no doubt. He wants to heal things that are wrong with us physically. If our sight is bad, he wants to heal it. If we have cancer, he may want to heal that. If we're having a bad back, he wants to heal that. Jesus heals us physically, but he also heals us spiritually. Jesus wants to heal us sometimes from sin in our life. That habitual sin in our life that we can't let go of, that we keep going back to. He wants to intervene and give divine healing and heal us from that sin in our lives. We know that from the folks who come to Celebrate Recovery, right? That's why we claim the name of Jesus at Celebrate Recovery. It's not just come and walk away from your addiction, but Jesus needs to heal us spiritually from that sin, and that's what he does. He also heals us spiritually from releasing us from lies from Satan and our enemies who lie to us and tell us things that we believe about ourselves that aren't true. We need spiritual healing. Jesus will see that in the scriptures. He often did that with people. He released them from that spiritual oppression they were under. And that's what he wants to do for us. But he wants to also heal us emotionally. So a lot of us have wounds. We all have wounds. This life's hard, right? Someone talk back to me. Say something. This life's difficult at times, right? Thank you. Crap happens, right? There we go. It's hard. We all carry wounds. He wants to heal those. Some of us have been subjected to abuse in our lives. We have emotional wounds. He wants to heal those. There's no part of our life that is off limits to Jesus. And the thing is, and we're about to see in the scriptures, he's concerned about the whole person. He's concerned about the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional well-being in our lives. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open it to John chapter 5. Read a passage. Let's start with John chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. kind of shows us, it's just one example, there's many in Scripture, it's just one example of where Jesus is concerned about the whole person, not just the physical. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And I think that's just a little bit of a side, but that Jesus did that quite often when he came to people who were hurting. And he said to them, "Do you want to get well?" And I think he's asking that to us here today. Those of us who are hurting physically, spiritually, and emotionally and need healing, do you want to get well? "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred." So there was this healing pool. The belief was if you got into this pool at Bethesda, you would be healed. And the invalid's saying, "You know what? I don't have anyone to help me into this pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." When Jesus encountered this man, and this is the thing we got to remember, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus knew what was going on in this guy's life. He knew that he had been an invalid for 38 years. But he also knew that this man was bitter. And he was probably angry. And he was probably mad at God. And he's like, "I can't get in the pool. It's not my fault. No one will help me in. I would be healed, but no one's willing to help me out." He was just a bitter person. He was bitter about his condition, which we all can probably relate to. But Jesus saw that, and Jesus knew that. I'm going to show you why I know that's true if you continue on with the story. The next verse says, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.'" A few verses later, verse 14, Jesus sees him again. "Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you.'" Why did he say, "Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you"? Because it's clear in this story in Scripture and others that sometimes the physical things in our lives are related to the spiritual things going on. This man was an invalid for 38 years, and there was an attachment between sin in his life and him being a paralytic. Jesus came in and he healed him. He healed him both physically but spiritually, and his words to him were this: "Stop sinning, please, or something worse may happen to you. You think being paralyzed for 38 years was bad. Something worse may happen to you." And the point I'm trying to make to us here is that there's a connection between the physical and the spiritual and the emotional in our lives. Sometimes it's true. Not always. Are we always sick because of sin in our life? Absolutely not. We know that. Jesus told stories. The man who was born blind at birth, someone asked him, "Why is he blind? Did he sin or did his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither. He's just blind." We live in a fallen world where things like that happen. But sometimes there's a connection between the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional things in our lives. Theologian John Calvin said this of this passage. He says, "A sick man does what we nearly all do. He limits God's help to his own ideas and does not dare promise himself more than he can conceive in his mind." When it comes to healing, I think this is true for many of us. I know I've been guilty of this, that we put God in this little box. And when there's things going on in our lives that we just, "My back hurts. My back's been hurting for years. The doctor says there's nothing I can do about it. I may just have a backache." but we put this God, and we just want someone to pray over us that God would heal our back, that he would strengthen our muscles. And that's a great prayer to pray. But there are times when we go to receive healing prayer in our lives, and guess what? God says something like this to the person praying over you, and maybe this will happen to you today. "I see there's unforgiveness in your heart, that you're bitter at your mother for whatever the reason is. You need to release that." The person releases that unforgiveness in their heart. Guess what? Their back is healed. Sometimes things like that happen, and we can't put God in a box and say those things don't happen. God wants to heal us physically. He wants to heal us spiritually, and he wants to heal us emotionally. Healing most frequently occurs in an environment of faith. This is probably the point I'm most passionate about. I guess I'm hard-pressed to say it's the most important, but I'll admit I'm the most passionate. I think it has a huge impact on when we see healing and when we don't. Healing most frequently occurs in an environment of faith. I'm not sure that's grammatically correct, but I'm not an English major. I don't care, so you can roll with that. What do I mean by that? Listen to a story in Mark. Jesus went back to his hometown in Nazareth, and the people there, they knew him, but they saw him just simply as Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter. Mark chapter 6, verse 4 through 6 says this. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his home." What he's saying is here that they did not recognize him for who he was. Even though he was producing healings and miracles, he was just Jesus, the son of Joseph, where he went to other places and they're like, he must be the son of God. It says he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Where there's little faith, I can say this, where there's little faith, there's little healing. Where there's much faith, I can say this, there's an environment for healing. Does faith always promise healing? Absolutely not. But it sets us up for healing. What does faith look like when it comes to healing? I want to read a story to you. And this is a story from Scripture that I usually share with people that I'm praying with and I'm praying for, because I think it's a great picture of what faith for healing looks like. It's in Luke chapter 8. It's going to start at verse 40. "Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at his feet." Skip down. Started a little bit early there. I think I got the wrong passage. Here we go. "As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. No one could heal her." So here's a woman. I don't know her specific condition. We don't know, but she had a bleeding disorder. She was just bleeding. What it looked like, I don't know. But she, for 12 years, was bleeding. She went to physicians. They couldn't heal her. She'd been prayed for. She wasn't healed. 12 years it went on like this. "She came up behind him being Jesus, touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me. I know it. I know that power has gone from me.'" Just picture that. Jesus walking along the streets, and he knew that power had left him. So the woman's bleeding for 12 years, reaches out and touches the edge of his cloak that he's wearing. And Jesus says, "The power has left me." "Then the woman, seeing that she could no longer go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.'" To me, it's a great picture of what faith looks like. She just thought she had to come in contact with Jesus. She didn't think she needed to be prayed over for 4 hours. She just needed to be touched by Jesus, and she believed she would be healed, and she was. And what does Jesus say to her? "Your faith has healed you." Who is Jesus looking to for faith when it comes to healing? When we talk about an environment of faith, who is he looking to for faith? Well, he's looking to the person who is sick, number one. He's asking the person who is sick when they're receiving prayers to have faith and to believe. We see that multiple times in Scriptures where Jesus and the disciples says, "Your faith has healed you." Who else is he looking to faith from? Well, he's looking to faith for the people that are praying, right? The ones that are willing to trust Jesus and be bold enough to stretch out their hands, you know, lay it on someone's shoulder and pray and ask in the name of Jesus that they're healed. He's asking that person who's praying to have faith. This is really important to know, though. Never in Scripture does Jesus talk to the sick person and say, your faith has not healed you. Your lack of faith has not healed you. Not true. Jesus never says once to anybody, because of your lack of your faith, I have not healed you. But he did say this on two occasions to disciples who were praying. He says, the reason the person wasn't healed is because of faith. So Jesus at times admonished actually the people who were praying for healing, saying they would have been healed, they would have been released from spiritual oppression in this occasion, but you didn't have enough faith, is what Jesus told them. So it's important for both the person who is sick and the one who is praying to have faith and to believe that there is power in the name of Jesus to heal. Who else is he looking for faith from? Anyone. Absolutely anyone. There's a story about the centurion that I was going to use, but I skipped it because I want to leave more time for prayer today. But the centurion, he had a servant at home, and he went to Jesus. He said, "Will you please heal my servant?" And Jesus said, "Because of your faith, I will heal your servant." Okay, he wasn't the sick person. He wasn't the one laying hands on him. But because of his faith, his servant was healed. So anyone. There's another story in Scripture. This is why it's important to have an environment of faith within a church. There was someone who, another paralytic in Scripture. Jesus was in town. He was doing lots of healings to people. It was such a large crowd, they couldn't get to him. So what did his friends do? They dropped him through a hole in the roof in front of Jesus so that Jesus could heal him. You know what Jesus said? Because of your friend's faith, who dropped you through the hole, you are healed. For some of us, it's going to be that relative who says, you need to come with me today and be prayed for to be healed. You may not have the faith if you're sick, but you may have someone in your life who does have that faith, and you need to let them drag you and be prayed for and be healed for, because sometimes that's how it is. It's that grandma that you haven't seen but knows that you're sick who's praying for you. Sometimes it's her faith that heals you. God is just looking for faith in people who believe in the power and the name of Jesus to heal people. He'll take any faith he can get. But there's an important question that we need to address. And it's your last blank for today. Not everyone is healed yet. If we're honest, we all are asking that question right now, or we wrestle with it. Why isn't everyone healed? Even when there's faith at times, people aren't healed. Why? Why is not everyone healed yet? Timothy, a man of great faith, one of the early disciples, one of the earliest church planters, had a stomach ailment. Most certainly he asked God to heal him, right? He wasn't healed. Why? The Apostle Paul, who in Scripture we say he was struggling with something so bad, he called it a thorn in his side. And Scripture says he cried out time after time to God. This is the Apostle Paul who had more faith than anyone in this room. He may have more collective faith than all of us in this room. All right? He cried out to God saying, heal me, heal me, heal me. But God didn't heal him. It wasn't because of his lack of faith, no doubt. Why wasn't he healed? Why sometimes when you lay hands on somebody and say, in the name of Jesus, would you take the cancer away and it's gone? And other times, in the name of Jesus, would you remove the cancer and it's not gone? Theologians say this. It's what they call, we live in this place called the space between. We live in this time when Jesus has come, right? Jesus entered this world. We've seen his healing ministry in this world. We know what he accomplished through his life, his death, and his resurrection, that salvation is now available to all who believe. We've seen this inbreaking of the kingdom of God, but we're not there yet. Until Jesus returns a second time and fully establishes his kingdom, we're not there yet. We live in this time where he has come. The kingdom of God has broken into this world, but it's not all the way there yet until he returns. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 and 53. We'll start with those. This is the Apostle Paul writing, kind of talking about that day, that great day when Jesus does return. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. What the Apostle Paul is trying to communicate to us is that that day will come. That day will come when Jesus returns. It's a guarantee. We don't know when. If anyone ever tells you they know when, don't believe them. We don't know when he'll return, but he will. He'll fully establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And when that day comes, we will have these imperishable bodies, these immortal bodies. There won't be disease. There won't be sickness. There won't be pain. There won't be suffering. There won't be cancer. There won't be abuse. There won't be spiritual oppression. There'll be none of that. That day is going to come, but we're not there yet. And until we get to that day, not everyone is going to be healed. And here's a really important thing, and this is what I want to share with you. Just because we don't see healing all the time, don't let it diminish your faith and belief in healing. And it's really hard to do, isn't it? You've all had people probably you've prayed for, and they didn't get well. When that happens, we either can abandon our belief in a God who loves us, who has compassion on us, and abandon our belief in the power in the name of Jesus, or we can't. And through this series and through preparing for this, trust me, I've had to wrestle with this too. I've had to ask myself this question, because of these times that I haven't seen healing, as a pastor or just as a devoted follower of Christ, I prayed for hundreds of people. Hundreds of people. I've seen some healed. And then I've seen lots of people not healed. And so I've had to ask myself, has that caused me to not pray for healing as much as I ought to? Has it weakened my faith in healing because I haven't seen it? And the answer is it has. What I've had to do, I've had to repent from that. And I'm just sharing that with you. I've had to say, God, forgive me that because I haven't seen healing as much as I want it to, that it's limited the amount that I pray for it. But you know what I feel in my heart right now is this renewed sense of faith because of that repentance, that renewed sense of belief that God heals, that God wants to heal. In this church, today, I believe that, and I'm willing to walk in that faith, even though not everyone's going to be healed yet, and that's really important. What do I mean, yet? Who's this healing, ultimate healing for? When that day comes and we get our new bodies and we're living in eternity with Jesus and there's no more pain and there's no more sickness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 57. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This promise for ultimate healing, the physical healing, the spiritual healing, the emotional healing, it's a promise for anyone who sits here today who believes in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. If you're here today and you're a follower of Christ, what I mean by that, I want to be really clear what I mean by that. If you look at your life and you understand that you're not perfect, and you understand that you're not holy, but God is, and that causes a separation, a fractured relationship between you and the God who made you. If you're looking to the person of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, and you're not like I did for 31 years, I was looking to my own good works to get me closer to God. But I came to the point where I said, no, I can never do anything to heal the sin in my life. I placed all my hope, all my faith in the person of Jesus Christ. If that's you, what happens is we've been talking about through this series, we become a child of God. The Spirit of God comes to live within us. The Spirit who lives within us testifies that, yes, we are children of God. So you sit here today knowing or not if you are a child of God. You should have a witness in your spirit right now that says, I'm forgiven, I'm living under the grace of Christ, and I'm a child of God. If that is you, the day will come when you will be fully healed. You will be completely healed. But until that day comes, we don't have to wait. We don't always have to wait and say, well, I'm waiting until Jesus returns. until I'm fully healed. He wants to heal us now. He loves us, he has compassion for us, and he has the power to do it. But the greatest healing that Jesus can do in any of our lives, I want to be clear as this, is to forgive our sins and to give us the promise of eternal life. This is the greatest healing he can do in your life. You may be hurting physically, you may be lost spiritually, you may be wounded emotionally, but the greatest thing Jesus can do in your life today is forgive you of your sins and to give you the promise of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you, God. I just ask that Holy Spirit, you would move right now. I just want to give an opportunity to those who are here today, and I don't care if this is your first time in a church or it's you've been going to church for 30 years. But if you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and he's not today your Lord and Master, which means you're living under the wages of your sin, which is death, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the greatest healing you ever can. And that is freedom from your sin and a restored relationship with the God who made you. If you're sitting here and you're like, man, I know this is true of me, I want to encourage you to take a great step of faith today and to allow God to intervene in your life, to allow Jesus' grace to flow over you. All you need to do is to repent of your sin. And Scripture says, you know, we just confess to God those things that we know are inconsistent with his holiness, and we make a commitment to turn from them. But more importantly, is that we turn to the person of Jesus Christ, that we place our faith in his sinless life, his sacrificial death, and his victorious resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins. And so as everyone sits here, I just encourage everyone, just close your eyes. This is an opportunity for us to be with God right now. And know that a decision to follow Christ can only be made by you. It's not something you inherit from your parents. It's not a decision anyone can make for you. You need to make it on your own. If you're here today and you want to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And the reason I'm going to ask you to raise your hand is simply so that I can acknowledge it. In Scripture, Jesus was really clear. He says, if you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. And know what I'm offering to you is just not a way to feel better about yourself. That's not the offer Jesus makes us. The offer Jesus makes us is eternal life. To become a new creation in Christ. And if anyone is here and you want to turn your life over to Jesus, that you want to receive the greatest healing you could ever receive, and the most important healing that you can receive it, if you want to begin that relationship with Jesus, would you please raise your hand? Bless you, Lord. If anybody else, respond to the Spirit if he's prompting you. Let today be the day of your salvation. Father, I bless you and thank you for those who have their hand up. And if you have your hand up, just take a moment and thank Jesus for his love and for his grace. Thank him that you no longer have to strive to earn his love, but you just need to rest in his grace. And Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would fill them overflowing with your Spirit, that you would confirm in their heart right now that they are children of God. Father, would you seal this in their heart, in their minds? And I pray against any lies from the enemy that would say contrary. Oh, Father, I thank you that you love us so much, that you came and that you would die for us. Father, may we never doubt your love. For those who made a decision to follow Jesus today, I want you to know that you're forgiven. You need to believe that here today. You need to walk in that newfound grace and freedom. Because that's what Jesus has before you from this moment forward. He has a life of freedom. And as we go on with the rest of the day, you guys can open your eyes. And first, praise be to God for those who gave their life to Christ. Guys, that's what Jesus does. That's what we're here for, is to see. But we're also here today to see people healed. Not just forgiven, but also healed. And so we're going to spend the next 15 minutes in a time, what I'm going to call ministry time. This is what it's going to look like. The band's going to be playing 3 songs, and we're going to stand up, and we're going to worship, and we're going to sing that song one more time that we just learned about. There is power in the name of Jesus. And when we see it this time, sing it like you believe it. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And we're going to continue in worship. And communion table is here. And the communion table is open for anyone who is a follower of Christ. I don't care what your denomination and what your background is. If you claim the name of Christ, please break bread with us. And be reminded when you come up what this represents. The wafer represents Jesus' body, which was broken for us. The juice represents Jesus' blood, which was shed for us. It represents the new covenant that we live under. Covenant marked by grace and love and peace. And then there's going to be folks in the back of the room. I'll be back there. Rob and Kevin and some other folks will be back in the room. If you need healing for anything, if you're hurting physically, spiritually, or emotionally, allow us to pray for you here today. So we're going to be hanging out for the next 15 minutes doing this. So no need to rush out of here. No need to rush up for communion. Come up whenever you feel led to come up for communion. One quick thing. If you're a parent of someone that's in a 3 or 4 year old, today is the day of the creek. You know who you are. When you're ready, head over to the creek. Please receive communion first. Please receive prayer first. It's not that big of a hurry to get there, but just go ahead and sneak out when you're ready. So let me pray, and then we'll just begin our ministry time. Father, may we never become numb in our hearts of the love and the grace that you have for us. Father, I thank you for bringing new life in this church here today. Father, may you remind us all who are in Christ just of the depths and the greatness of your love and your grace in our lives. And I just sense there's people who are followers of Christ in this room, and you continue to have that battle in your life that are you truly forgiven. Please let us pray for you today. Let us release you from that lie. God wants you to walk in freedom from that. So Holy Spirit, I just simply say, come. Fill this place with your presence. May you release healing into this church and into our lives. May it result in a people who love you and who worship you more. And more above that, may any healings that occur in this church bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. May his name be exalted in this place here today. Jesus, may you be lifted high. May you reveal yourself to us in a strong and significant way today. May you be pleased with our worship. May you be pleased with the faith that is exercised in this room. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that I pray. Let's stand and worship.